Welcome back to It's All Bad. I'm Keith. I'm here with Russian Danny.
Yep.
Mike.
Hey.
Uncle Victor.
Victor.
Sup.
And Blackie from way backy.
What's up, everybody?
And Charlie, of course, the young blood of the group. How old are you, Charlie?
26.
Jesus.
You say 26?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, me and Blackie were doing some really bad things before you were even born.
Yeah, before you were even born.
I always say, as much as I love Charlie, I'd kill him if I could steal his youth. And his hair.
Yeah.
God damn it, the hair.
Wait, Victor, you know Chaz.
Don't ask me any questions. I'm eating jerky.
Victor said,
my plate will fall out.
Because you know how Chaz Dean lives across the street?
Yeah.
Victor
yeah.
had a...
Yeah.
What did he do to you, Victor?
Well,
Blackie bought some shampoo for $100 and the next day his fucking hair fell out.
No way.
He did do that. That did happen to him. He did. You have a thing with his... I mean, I want to spread... Listen, nothing happened. He's a great guy. I love the way he dresses.
I mean,
Liberace called him.
He may be
back.
A great guy. He's over there. They've been pushing dirt around that property, I don't know, for the last, how long? I mean,
year and a half?
Like a year and a half. And you're just like, God damn it. Imagine to have that much money from, first of all, rubbing dirt in people's hair
right.
and calling it shampoo.
Well, that's what's keeping Tijuana afloat
I know.
Right now.
And, yeah. and second of all, like just to just have a huge piece of land. And literally be making fucking mud pies and sandcastles
yeah,
out there for a year and a half. It's like, fuck it.
It's like yeah. a Tonka commercial. It's
yeah.
Just, it's nothing ever gets done.
Just no. as long as I don't have to give it to a homeless guy, it's great.
Exactly.
It's all red tagged that shit.
I'd
all.
Rather you just, listen, I'd rather you just burn it than give it to a poor person. Yeah.
So Blackie and I met in 1998 or 99.
Yep.
And we were in rehab.
Pasadena.
Yeah, with, fuck, a butt.
Quite a crew.
A lot of them are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys who helped us are now, you know.
Yeah.
I know.
But Old Dirty Bastard, he's dead.
He's dead.
Mike's dead. Mike.
Mike and his brother are dead.
Mike and his brother are dead, and they were both there.
Old Dirty Bastard, somebody who's not Old Dirty Bastard.
No, Old Dirty Bastard.
ODB.
Yeah.
Oh.
ODB from, from Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, he has passed. Huh?
Yeah, he was in rehab with us. He showed up with one shoe.
ODB, the story goes, was doing fine, and then he had to go to New York for court. Mm. And it was going to be this whole thing where he's going to walk in and be like, look, Honor, I'm doing great. You know, I got all this time. On the plane, he starts drinking. And he's next to his guy from the HAB, from the rehab. Guy says, hey, don't do that. He just straights up and just punches him out. On the plane, he just punches dude out. He's like, don't tell me what to do. Like, the monster kicked back in. And by the time he got to New York, it was just like, he wasn't coming back.
I don't know if you remember this, but Scott flew to New York to be on Letterman. Do you remember this?
Yes.
Scott flew to New York, and they sent a dude who worked at the rehab with him.
Right.
And they landed at JFK, and Scott shook him before they got to the baggage claim. Disappeared.
Yeah. Yep.
But Mike...
Scott could shake you, too.
Yeah.
He was about $1.10 wet, that guy. You sneeze, and he's gone.
Yeah.
Achoo!
But when we were there, me and Blackie were there. A lot of these guys knew each other from before. Blackie, Scott, Mike, and Blackie, but Mike had on his hands what looked like bowling gloves. Remember that?
Oh, right. Because he was trying to sneak into his own house on rope.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to walk by, remember Ripley's Believe It or Not? There's that guy in there with the rope. Like, look, it's Mike. Look, Mike, it's you. He didn't think that was very funny. But
Mike had, Mike was on a crack run. Mike had some fucking magical stories. But
he did.
They lived on the third floor of a fifth floor building on like Santa Fe and
A loft. Right? Yeah, a loft. Yeah.
And she was at work. She had kicked him out of the house. So Mike remembered there was a rope on the roof. So he went up there and tied the rope off and, you know, like kind of, you know, did the
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, down to the window. But then he couldn't get in because it was double pane. So Mike rappelled like a Navy SEAL. He tried to jump off the wall and slide, which he did. But the rope burned through his hand. So they had to do skin grafts on his ass.
No way.
Yeah. He almost lost his hands.
Yeah. Because I was there.
And he was a drummer.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I was standing there, and he's like,
how far did he go down? I mean, how far?
From the third floor to the ground.
He wasn't that far, but he just gripped it so hard. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, man, I mean, you know how much a paper cut hurts on your finger?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many nerve endings in your – believe me, I know that. So, I mean, anybody who's ever hurt their hand knows that the slightest little cut hurts like hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, yeah, imagine having just about all the skin off both of your hands. Like, oof. I mean, that has been unbelievably brutal.
Because I was standing there by the patio, the senior's desk, and they're like – you know, they're always telling you in rehab, like, you got to be a service and fucking help others. And I overheard Eugene. Remember him, that old dope fiend? And Eugene's like,
yeah.
Well, somebody's going to have to help him wipe his rear
end. Hey, hey, hey.
Yeah. And I turned around and I was like, you can call my parole officer. I'm not fucking wiping that guy's ass. They're like, what? I'm like, I'm not wiping that dude's ass. I know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm the new guy.
Yeah. Eugene was a trip, man. I can't believe you brought up Eugene.
Did anyone actually wipe his ass?
No, they didn't. But Eugene was saying that. And I just assumed they were talking about me. And I'm like, I'm not wiping anybody's ass.
Eugene, man, the day they declared him a diabetic, man, remember that? He went up to get his lunch, and he was waiting for his like sloppy joes and macaroni and cheese, and they hand him a big old plate of lettuce, tomatoes, asparagus. He comes back and sits down next to me. Goes, am I a damn rabbit? They're feeding me like I'm a rabbit. I'm like, yeah, dude, diabetes is a motherfucker, you know?
Yeah. He was a great guy.
He was a great guy. Another one, I don't think he's with us anymore.
I don't think he is. The majority of those guys are dead from that era.
Clarence is gone. Remember Clarence?
Clarence is dead.
Yeah. But Jerry's still over there.
Jerry's still there.
Yeah, he'll be there forever probably.
Yeah.
Hopefully he will be because he's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. That place helped people, but it was hell being there.
Yeah. It was brutal. We had some good laughs there, though.
Yeah, man. You and Steven, you guys were funny.
Yeah.
Now, was this inpatient?
Yeah.
You were in there living there?
Yeah.
And were you guys roommates or were you?
Me and Steven Bauer were roommates. And
oh, right. I remember that. You and
Steven. Blackie and.
Whoever.
Yeah.
I was a 90 in, and then I decided to do another 90, like working at the house.
It's got
like
it.
What they call probationary staff or whatever.
Okay.
So that was an experience.
Now, when you said that thing, you were like, if they. It was there where they said, hey, this guy's going to need help wiping his ass, right? And you were like, I'm not going to wipe that dude's ass.
Yeah.
Which, don't blame you.
Yeah.
I'm not really looking forward to doing that. we're not doing that tonight.
I'm ready.
Are we? Okay. but my question.
I just sharted it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, okay, hold on one second. Let me give you my handkerchief. So when that. What you said that struck me was that you were like, hey, listen, I don't care. You can tell my parole officer. Could they do something about it?
Well,
could they be like, oh, Keith's not being, he's not playing nice with everybody else?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, can you then say like, well, not playing nice, if that means, you know, wiping up another man's waste. Yeah, no, maybe I'm not playing so.
Probably couldn't throw you out for that, but Blackie'll attest at that time. It was a lot more hardcore back then when we were there. It's all rehabs are pretty easy now because they're all like state financed.
Yeah.
So they're scared to break rules. But when Blackie and I were there, like if you fucked up, you'd have to wear a sign around your neck and shit. You know? Like,
what would the sign say?
Like if you got caught like stealing a muffin from the kitchen, it'd be like a sign. It'd be like, I got sticky fingers with two plastic gloves glued to it. Or like that dude Larry used the phone and he had the sign. You remember this? He had a little girl like plastic toy phone.
yeah.
Hanging on it.
Yeah.
They'd make you dig your own grave in the old days, apparently.
They caught one gal. She was sending mail to another guy in the facility. So what she would do was she would mail a letter out and then send it to somebody. And then that person would mail it back to him. You understand?
Oh, okay.
She'd write a letter in the rehab to another guy. Yeah, smart. But they caught her. So she had to wear a sign that said M-A-L-E-M-A-I-L.
Mail. Now, is that because they don't want people?
Oh, yeah. No communicating between the sexes. That's a big, big no-no.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't want any romances popping up in the damn rehab.
That's just
AA. But then again, they know that
that shit's going to happen. I mean, who the fuck else are you going to hook up with?
They do that on purpose to create the tension.
Right. And then when they find out somebody's having an affair, which Blackie and I have been through this, they're trying to find out who else. They're more obsessed with finding out with who else knew about
it. Who knew and didn't say nothing.
Yeah. It's called the Love Boat.
You're
holding mud.
All the people running the rehab recovered addicts?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, what's up with that? That's interesting. You got...
Well, you
got
to spot it. If you spot it, you got it.
Yeah, right. No, that's interesting.
Yeah, because we can spot each other's crap better. You know what I mean? Because we're always trying to run games.
Especially when you're wiping their ass.
We're going to keep getting back to that point. I know.
No, it's gone.
That's ground zero.
That's just a simple fact. That's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever wiped anybody else's ass?
Have you ever played Peckies with Blackie?
Played what?
Peckies?
Peckies. It's Peckies. It's like hockey.
What's that?
Exactly.
Swords.
Oh. Well.
Touché. A lot of swords going on there in rehab.
I was in the Navy. No, I wasn't.
Have you ever been to sea, Billy?
The coolest sign I ever saw in my life was they caught this gal. She was snitching on everybody. Everybody in the house. She was just giving everybody up. Then it kind of came to light that like some of these people she was giving up were people that she kind of had a lot of direct conflicts with, involving anything from like crushing on the same guy to shit that they left out on the street.
Yeah.
She might have known them from back. You know what I mean? And it turned out that a lot of her so-called snitching was just entirely in her own self-interest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So she had to wear a sign that said, in on all scores, out on all beefs. I thought, that is the coolest
who
thing.
Who was that?
That was that one. She was super ghetto. She'd be like, ah,
ah, ah. Ruby?
Yes. It was Ruby. She was a great lady, but man.
Yeah.
I mean, she was beloved in the house. Everyone loved Ruby.
Yeah.
You know, she was really cool. I loved her. She told awesome stories. She used to help me when I was going through stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Because she was staff.
Yeah.
And when they caught her doing that, she was staff. She got demoted back to like 1A. But I think she hung out and did. I think she's actually. I hope she's doing good. You know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I do know that. I don't know if it was there. It's some rehab. Because okay, so if you go on a pass or whatever, you work, you have a job outside, you'll go back, and you have to give a urine sample. You know, you pee. You know, give a test. Yeah. Do you remember this? But somebody, some dude who you know, because it's another dude working there who's in charge of it. He was loaded and he was doing piss swaps with people.
Yes.
And they were getting fucking busted and getting sent to prison and shit.
Yeah.
And they weren't loaded.
Oh, whoa.
This one guy was driving back to rehab with he had a bunch of piss in a jar.
Wow.
And he was driving back and he saw a 7-Eleven, like, pull into there. He's like, why? He goes, I gotta go nuke this piss. Heat it up.
No way.
Yeah. And so he comes back out, gets back in the car, he's just totally soaking wet, no piss. Like, what happened? He goes, it exploded. Because imagine the next dude who used that microwave for heating up a damn hot dog.
Yeah.
He opened up a damn, what the?
Oh, I'll tell you the
it
best
exploded.
One.
It exploded.
I hope you fucking remember this dude, Blackie. Do you remember that guy, Warren?
Yes.
So Warren was
Warren,
like,
he said, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Nah, he would do not what Warren does.
Yeah. So Warren was a Christian. He lived in Big Bear or Arrowhead or something.
Something.
And, you know, he was like a deacon at the church and all this.
He had the classic, like, side part hair, big old glasses. He was built like John Q. American. You know what I mean? Like, he looked
like Bart, Homer Simpson's neighbor.
He did.
Flanders.
It's exactly, just like that. He exactly did. But he was the craziest dude in the house.
By far.
By a mile.
He'd be, like, sitting there naked reading the Bible and shit.
He was the most gangster dude in that entire house. And there were some serious gangsters in that house.
Yeah. But he would, like, hey, guys. He was a super, like, nerdy dude. But apparently... He liked to sneak off for a little bit of crack and hookers, you know?
Yes.
From the church, but he'd go on a few day wingding and then come back up.
Well, they caught him with the odometer, didn't they?
No, they caught him because he was one of the house drivers, you know? So
Wait, what's the odometer?
Well, they just noticed that there'd be more miles on the van.
Oh, okay,
that couldn't be accounted for.
No, they caught
him. Sorry.
No problem.
What's
no problem.
An odometer?
No, that's fine, buddy.
They caught him because... So Warren had a job. You know, Warren was like one of the few people with licenses. You know, in the rehab, they're trying to get people who drive. So, like, they'll take Blackie to the doctor.
Right.
Victor to the court,
sure.
Right?
Which I did a lot of that when I was on staff.
Take
people to County USC. That was a big one.
But Warren was coming back up Fair Oaks, which was the host role.
Yeah.
And Warren was coming up, picked up a chick.
And got, you bring her back to the house?
No, he got a Hummer, dropped her off, and by the time he got to the house, she had already called Clarence and was like, yo, one of your guys just came by here and picked me up. And
oh my god,
the worst part, I don't know if you remember, but Warren was fighting bank robberies.
So she was blowing dudes and then narking on them.
She was yes. a hooker. She wasn't in the house.
Oh wow.
He was driving back to the house. He pulled over, but the chick knew the rehab, so they called.
Clarence probably threw her $50 out of that day for narking him out, though. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But
probably
Warren, how he had it. What had happened crazy. With Warren is
he did a bank robbery. You're right.
He did a bank robbery with a note.
He did a couple.
Yeah. He drove down to San Bernardino from Arrowhead, right? Walked into a bank. He looks just like Ned Flanders, the mustache, the whole
right.
thing.
And if you would have met him the first day and said he did a bank robbery, you would laugh. But if you knew him after a week, anything I told you about Warren, you would believe.
Yeah.
Just by hanging out with that guy for a week and seeing how absolutely bonkers he was.
I've seen him naked reading a Bible more than twice.
Yeah.
I'd walk down the hall and he's just butt naked reading the Bible. But
like most guys come in bad and work good. He came in good and worked bad. You know what I mean? Like
really?
Yeah. Like as the longer you stayed in, the more he regressed.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
So it just didn't fucking work for him, right? Well, the environment didn't work, whatever it was.
He saw the situation as an opportunity to just run amok.
And to get him out of going to prison.
Yeah.
Because so Warren really, he was a Christian.
A little cuckoo's nest situation, kind of, right? Like a dude being like,
what he didn't know was like everybody in that staff knew exactly what he was up to. Right. Because they're basically looking at him like, on an overview, imagine if like you're in a little box and like there's some big head watching what you're doing. It's just like watching a gerbil in a habit trail. Like, oh, look, he's going over here now. They knew everything he was doing. Yeah. He didn't really get away with a damn thing. You know, they just let him believe he was.
God, this prompts so many questions. If I may, just please.
Because it's behavior modification. That is the module.
Okay, so can you explain that just a
little
bit?
That is the module.
So why is there someone... Because everything you guys keep saying to me is that the rehab situation, while in many ways effective, also feels like there's a little menace and a game to it.
There absolutely is.
Yeah.
And I know that you've talked about this, Keith, about people, but that's interesting. Like
it is. Because you have to do bad before they can figure out how to fix you. Like if you come into rehab and do everything right, you don't really get treated. You know, you don't get treated. So if they'll watch you like he eats vanilla ice cream every day. He loves vanilla ice cream. Okay, so take away his vanilla ice cream. You got to do something to piss this guy off because they'd call that guy Mr. Happy. Like, what are we going to do about Mr. Happy? Because Mr. Happy was the guy who'd come in like, I'm just so glad to be here. And he'd say all the right things and do all the right things. But he was never acting out so that they can't treat you, right?
Yeah.
Until you mess up.
And they want to break you so that you act out so they know what.
If you don't mess up on your own, they'll create situations and that will help you mess up.
Yeah.
Like if Blackie went in there. And what's the point of that?
Like they'll put you in the kitchen next to the hottest chick in the house.
Yeah.
Or and they'll say
the
you
point
can't
of that?
The point is
make you
the point up. Is when you're pissed off, that's when you act out. And when you act out, that's how they know how you tick.
So that's the only way they'll know how to treat you. It's like if you were epileptic and you didn't have a seizure while you were there, it would
be
hard for them to
when they're most addicts pick up when they're irritated. Well, addicts pick up no matter what, but they seem to think when we irritate you, we can find out what makes you tick. Now, I don't know even know if I believe that, but they believe that. And that's the whole gist of behavior modification.
Copy that.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people are using other ways now. In fact, rehab...
That sounds fucking dodgy as hell to me, man.
Rehab's on the way out. You know why? Because people don't have 30, 90 days to go disappearing anymore. You just can't throw your life in a box and say, I'll be back in 90 days. I'm going off to Sunny Meadows. Like, it doesn't work like that. Now they either they give you a weekend to detox and go to a damn meeting.
Yeah.
Or they'll assign you a damn coach.
Right.
Which is a guy who just follows you around all day, makes 20 grand a month. But it's like... The rehab thing, I mean, I know a lot of people still go there, but I kind of think it might be on the way. You know, it's like other approaches now.
Yeah.
You know, but back when we were doing it, it was really the only game in town.
Yeah. And there was a lot less rehab. But I'll give you an example. So if Blackie and you were to go to rehab right now, after a week, they'd be like, you know, Blackie's too happy. Let's make him cut his hair.
Right.
Right?
Or Blackie and we get along too good. We got to separate you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you guys cannot talk to each other.
Yeah, like. What? How long's Mike had?
We're
that
putting
beard?
You on a gag order.
Shave the beard.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to shave your beard. Yep.
Yeah.
Something.
And
that's
what happens
gonna...
if you say no? I'm not sure.
They'll kick
my
you
beard.
Out.
You're out. You're out. Yeah. You're out. You cannot defy the
because you're not willing to do anything for your recovery.
They consider that you refusing treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. They made me come. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
See, they'll come in, like, there'll be some guy all the chicks dig, and like, yeah, let's some, you know, let's
put him on.
Like, oh, wait, like you.
But wait.
I've seen them take skinny, wistful kids with long hair, and within a week, they're bald, and they weigh and they're 30 pounds fatter. And it's all at the direction of their own staff. Like, put them on a starch-only diet and get them a crew cut. You know what I mean? Swear to God, look at my
face. I don't know what.
And all of a sudden, they're not the Mac anymore.
This is from the horse's mouth.
It is, because you gotta remember. I work staff, so I kind of found out their secrets.
Oh, right.
That's why I know this.
Okay,
I'm not making it up. I actually work staff, and
but
they told me.
Doesn't making this, someone, if like, doesn't that just wind up hurting them in the end?
Well, first of all, the
or
fa-
no,
well,
maybe
first
not.
Of all, if you turn red and gain 50 pounds, your family thinks you're cured. You know. So the real secret of rehab is just get him a sunburn and a Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
Deep. He's, you know, the family thinks you're fat. Goes, well, he's fatter, and I've never seen him so red. He must be fine, you know.
And like the whole behavior modification model, like, it's when you do like the, you know, like now, especially nowadays, it's like, you know, your family will send you to like the whatever, you know, if they got a little money, they'll send you here, and if that doesn't work, then they'll send you out of town to Florida or something.
Yeah.
And then it's like, now it's kind of like the last house on, you know, it's the last house on the block. It's like, oh, if this doesn't work, fucking nothing will. You know?
Right. Yeah. There was a lot of that.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, I have to make this work or else.
Yeah.
It's either this or, and like, let me tell you something. Like, I played that or card about 100 times and I never went to prison. I just went to more rehab.
Or it's like, it's either this works or I get bounced.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
And bounce means bounce back to jail.
Well, what
or
I would
means
do,
bounce into a halfway.
Here's what I would
what
do.
Whatever.
Really, I would do my 90 days court ordered rehab. I'd get out, I'd go to a sober living. I'd pick up again. Almost every time, I'd pick up, and then
what
I'd,
was
and,
your thing?
Heroin.
Dig it.
I'd pick up again. I'd go. I'd have to go test for probation. Pee in a cup.
Copy.
Come up dirty. Next thing you know, I'm in front of a judge. I'm getting violated. They're trying to order me back to rehab. I'm like, I'm not going back to rehab. Who's paying? First of all, who's paying? Like the courts don't want to pay anymore. They've already paid. I don't have the money, so they're trying to send me back to jail. Well, I'm not going back to jail over a dirty pee. So you just hired me a good attorney. So there's a way to play this game. This is how I played the game. I would just hire a lawyer. Be like, it's unethical to send a person. It's not like it's and I still believe this to this day. It's an unethical waste of time to lock somebody up for a dirty cup of pee. Like, there's got to be more dangerous criminals on the street than someone who can't pee in a cup with dirty pee, with clean pee. And I just think it's like the biggest load of bullshit in the world that to this very day, they still try to lock people up for dirty urine. Like, let's get some res burglars or some rapists. Or there's got to be other people who can fit those beds. Yeah. But it's like, that's the racket. They try to make the math right.
They try to connect that dot. That's what's going to drive people. And it's
right.
Like, well, if you were really concerned about that, then you wouldn't have emptied out your mental hospitals.
Right.
Because it's the criminally
exactly right.
insane who are the people who are going to be go committing crimes. Like
just
junkie,
walk through downtown LA, you know.
Like overall, junkies, stoners, boozers are some of the least effective
right.
thieves and some of the laziest people. They just want to do their drugs and
right.
do their thing.
They're self-medicating.
And yeah, like you go after money, but there's almost always some way to fucking make like – I feel like we lump a lot of shit into one pile, and I think that's part of why we now have
well,
a massive
say,
problem.
Somebody said to me once, like, a crackhead will steal all $200 out of your wallet, but a junkie will just take 40.
Yes, exactly. Right. And so, like, but we don't know how to deal with that shit.
True.
People don't know how to
that's
deal
truth.
With that shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Junkie just wants to feel better that day. He doesn't want to create raise. He doesn't want to get caught.
Yeah.
He doesn't use $20 to feel better.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's too complicated.
And then once he gets that shot, he can do all the things he needs to do to become a fucking, you know, a functional member of society.
There is another side to that coin. I mean, like, you know, like I grew up in the system, you know.
And yeah. No, Keith knows it better than anybody.
All the prison terms I've done, I've only had two friends who didn't do drugs.
Right.
You know what I mean? The majority of your burglars.
It's behind all of it.
Robert, yeah. That being said, like, your junkie's usually doing a petty theft or whatever. You know,
yeah.
You're not a junkie.
And then
a bank
petty with
usually.
A prior, you're off to prison.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, how many junkie murderers do you know?
Not very many.
Right?
Because junkies don't want to murder people.
I think that, yeah, I think.
What was the dude who went and robbed the bank on?
crack cocaine, but
yeah,
see, that's the thing.
That's a real menacing.
And I'll tell you, methamphetamine
is a criminal creator too.
Methamphetamine is the one where somebody will chop a body up.
Yes,
that shit happens.
You could be a heterosexual and wake up on methamphetamine in your girlfriend's underwear on the 101 in a broken down 3-wheeled car, and not even know how you got there.
Yeah.
it brings out Vic's inner effect.
I know.
Victor, have you ever done methamphetamine?
Fuck no.
That stuff creates problems. In fact,
yeah.
Methamphetamine creates problems?
In fact, when the cops would catch people with a large amount of meth, you know what they would do? They would test it. Why would they test it for potency? Because the more potent the meth was, the higher the crime rate was going to be that month. Like, they can actually measure the rise and fall in crime by the potency of the meth on the street.
A junkie who's well and has dope in his pocket, in my
opinion, is probably not going to do anything.
They're not going to do anything. They're just going to be happy where they're at.
Give him a bowl of soup and he's happy.
But if I'm on speed, or any of us are on speed, anybody who's on speed, I could have $10 million and if Charlie dropped his wallet with $20, I'd fucking steal it.
It's that insatiable.
You'll always make the wrong decision.
Yep.
That's true. You always steal from your best friend.
It's an insatiable thing.
I would get busted. Somebody would get busted who was dealing speed or anything. And dude, all of his best friends would be over there robbing the pad.
Right.
That's how it was.
Oh, right away. Yeah. The second he's being taken away, you're like, oh, fuck. I heard.
But these are people with bank accounts and cars and houses and families. You know what I mean? Like, lots of times they're not even people with nothing that they get caught doing. It's like the meth somehow steals them into a life of crime, but they don't even need to be in a life of crime.
Now, the interesting thing about Warren, though, is Warren's the first person I think I told
Warren.
You
it's so Warren's good the first that his name's Warren.
Me, you, and Mike talked about this. I don't remember, but I was looking at Warren, and it dawned on me. I'm like, Warren's not a crackhead who likes prostitutes. He is, but the thing is with Warren, what I mean by that is Warren's a guy, and there's several of these guys down. You'll see him in downtown L.A., they get prostitutes, which gets them into smoking crack.
Yes.
It's not the other way around.
Right.
So Warren had
They call the prostitutes first.
Yeah. They're into getting hookers, and then one of them's a crackhead.
That's actually very interesting.
And then everything the hookers bring with them.
That's interesting, because that's the LA way to get loaded.
You don't call it in LA, you don't call a dealer, you call a hooker.
Yeah. That's interesting.
To come meet you at the Mondrian or wherever it is.
I had a triple reverse on that once, where it was the meth got me into a hooker's pad at a hotel, and she there was smoking rock cocaine. Oh, in that scenario, I just said, no, I'm good.
I never could turn down crack. That was
It just didn't
downfall.
Look appetizing in that moment. I promise you,
now.
Like that
I understand that. I understand
that whole
that
room looked like something fucking the walls were closing in a little tighter. You know, it was a little bit like Saigon.
Hey, you pay a hooker to leave.
Yeah,
you don't pay her to blow, you pay her to leave. Yeah.
She's not leaving until every crumb is gone.
I've had friends that have never been with ladies of the night. And I never have, but they say they're like, and that is 100% the truth. It's like,
pay and believe.
It is, it's about that.
So Victor, between like the,
are we on air?
Yeah. And I want to let's talk about the schools really quick, because that's super fucking interesting. So wait a second, your fam. I'll sum up what just quickly, right?
I'll sum it up fucking fast.
You sum it up. Sum it up. Sum it up. Sum it up. No, but I want to hear about the schools.
I married a Mexican.
Got it.
All those girls down in Guadalajara, they're all really tall, green eyes. They have all their facilities, ample bosoms, ample everything. And
that wasn't my experience in Guadalajara, but I was a 7-year-old boy, and we
lived there.
I lived there when I was a little kid for a short period of time. My mom was going to medical school there.
The medical schools are really there, good. So I married her, and we got married. We lived over here in Studio City, and then we decided to move back there, and we bought a house for like $16,000, and I didn't have any money. I had $100, so I called Gary. She says, call Gary, go to Seattle and work. So I had to go up there. First day, standing knee deep in fucking water, grabbing my saw, getting shocked, getting $200, owed $40,000 on my fucking credit cards, 4 credit cards. And I went, fuck this. And I phoned them. I said, you want any money? You could suck my dick. And then I never heard from any of them later again.
Gary's his brother.
Yeah. So I went up there, and then she started a school in like one little room in the house and had all the neighborhood kids in one of the worst in one of the worst barrios in Guadalajara. It's Miravalle. It's where all the it's really bad.
Okay.
But I'm there. I got my Mexicana, and I, it was, everything was okay. So what the fuck is going on? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Got so it. She started right. this little school and had these little classes in this little neighborhood where it's really rough, Tlaquepaque. And she just grew it. She just grew it. Now that place, we put a couple extra stories on it. It's a school and it's filled with kids. And then there's another school over on the other side of town, the rich side of town where all the narcos live.
Oh, okay.
And that school's not so busy.
Did you build
because
that one
a lot
too?
Of those... No, it's just a rental. For $1,000, you get a six-room house with five bathrooms and a tennis court and everything right in the middle of La Estancia, and it's very nice.
Wow.
But there she teaches English as a second language and so on and so forth. So now there's that school, and those are the schools.
Yeah.
And it's the only certified school in town. There's 1,800 schools, and she's the only one that's certified. She does all that stuff, takes care of all the business. I'm not allowed to have anything to do with it because a couple of times I went in to sub as a teacher and I just tell all the kids about hitchhiking stories from the 70s. And their eyes get all sparkly and I think they're looking at my wiener. Yeah. I think they're looking at my wiener, so I think, shh, I can't do this. So, but they're all beautiful. All those girls are down there are beautiful. They're tall and they're all beautiful.
Everyone's tall to me.
Yeah.
But that's, wow.
Victor,
that sounds
what's
wonderful.
What's the most interesting place you've been a carpenter?
Right.
Salt Spring Island over there. Well, my first job, I started with Gary. My first job, I was 15. I went over there. It was for the Dean of Architecture of UBC. His name was Henry Elder, and he looks like you. He looked like you.
I'm sorry, Henry.
No. It was fine. And it was like, we're all working with all this virgin growth cedar, and the whole place is all cedar, and
please,
those are the best carpenters up there. So that's where I started.
And HBC,
you pass this guy a hammer, he'll build you a
British
house.
British Columbia, is that
yeah?
That mean?
Well, there's the Gulf Islands over there between Victoria and Vancouver.
Copy that.
There's all those islands over there: Salt Spring, Pender, Galliano, and it's just like it was a hippie paradise.
Oh wow!
Tell us about being a breatharian.
A breatharian, that was Santa Fe, bro. Bro. I was working at the co-op over in Santa Fe making carrot juice and
first
sprouts.
Of all, tell us what a breatharian is. Come on, real quick.
Well, you just breathe. That's you get it. All your energy from the breath.
No phone, no lights,
it's
no
hard
motor
in LA.
Car.
Wait, you get all your energy from the what?
You get all your vitamins and everything from air.
From air, bro.
Yeah.
So what is air out here that
first
we're
I was macrobiotic.
So if I fart right now, are we all dead?
Hey. First, I was macrobiotic. Then I was a fruitarian, like Jimmy Boyle, the fruit bat.
Fruit bat.
And then I worked into a breatharian. But every once in a while, I'd sneak down to the grow hole and smoke some buds. And that way...
Wouldn't you get so hungry?
No, you don't think about it because you're breathing.
Yeah, Jesus.
You get everything you need from the air.
They're just too busy breathing, bro.
Can you see me being about 140 pounds?
How long did you go without
eating?
After being
a hockey player?
Yeah.
That's yeah, how long? I've always wondered that too. How long did you go without?
It's none
eating?
Of your fucking business.
Who knew that was where he draw the line,
bro? It's personal shit.
That's right.
That's where he draws.
So you were just living on air.
Yeah, I think it was about 3 days.
Oh God! Thank the sweet Lord.
Living on air, vitamin C.
That whole story made me so nervous.
That's Santa Fe. That's New Mexico. That's the land of enchantment.
Italians cannot live on air.
Are you Italian?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, half and half. Yeah.
I grew up with Italians.
Italian Irish.
Quesadice.
Mangia
la minga.
Italian Irish. You?
Yeah.
Chicago?
No, Rhode Island.
Rhode Island red.
Providence?
Wow. Cranston.
Great town.
Cranston.
I love Providence. We used to go play music there, and we'd end up
eating. Have you been to other towns?
Yeah, but I love Providence.
Yeah.
Because you eat dinner with the mayor.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you can also work with him.
Mike was the mayor.
I did music. I didn't make cement pajamas.
I know.
Oh, God damn it.
Mike worked with the mayor. Sancy.
I only
I love that guy.
Newport. With his kind. Four is probably more accurate.
You met Buddy Sancy?
Yeah.
When did you meet him?
He'd eat at the same restaurant every night.
Where did you go?
Some Italian restaurant in Providence.
Were you on Federal Hill?
Yeah.
Okay, was it the old canteen?
I thought it began with a P. Maybe it was the old canteen. My memory's not great. I just know that Providence meant playing a fun
show. Was it mostly pink inside?
Yes.
Yes, that's the old canteen.
Oh, okay.
I grew up going there with my uncle.
Great food, man.
It's so fun, and that's where Buddy would hold court up there when he would go to the Hill.
All my friends who went to RISD would always rave about that restaurant.
That's very funny. And how was he? Was he pleasant to you?
Oh, he was amazing. He'd come by and be like, "So I heard you guys had a show in town. How'd everything go?" So I was good. I meant to come by to see it, but you know, you say the same thing every time. You're like, "Yeah, dude, it's okay. You didn't come by the rock show, you know."
Sister Havana.
You're the mayor.
Yeah, right. But like that's him. Like he remembers every fucking thing.
Great guy, though.
Yeah, he was. Depends on the day.
Right.
Right. I had a wonderful experience with him, but, you know.
Right.
Hey, Victor.
Do you still have a condo in Providence?
I don't. No. My family's all back east, but I don't have a place there.
I heard that
in a while, though, I look, because there's so many dope places in Providence that you can get for fucking not a lot.
Nothing. And you're an hour from New York.
Like Victorians. Like, you could buy a
37,000
like a Victorian for
if
like
I ever had to go to the East Coast,
grand,
really? I would move to Providence.
Like old school L.A. prices.
In Providence?
And in South Providence, North Providence.
Hey, like, Victor.
I only hang out in Newport.
But you got to live there. That's the problem.
You got to live there.
And if you live there,
and you know the people,
you're going to be upset.
Victor, have you been to Rhode Island?
What about Poughkeepsie? That's a cool town too, right?
You're like, I've been to Rhode Island.
Did you hitchhike to Rhode Island?
Yeah, I had a couple girlfriends.
Did you?
Nice. Yeah.
How did you end up in New Zealand?
I'll tell you what.
We're riding
to Oregon with Uncle Victor, straight up, you know, five straight. We'd be riding by, and he would just point and be like, "Oh yeah, I used to sleep in there." He would just hitchhike, and if he couldn't hitchhike, he would just go find some place out there in the brush and lay down. That's where he would sleep, man.
Oregon. Don't Californicate Oregon.
No, nothing. No sleeping bag, nothing. He just lay down.
Did you hitchhike to the nudist colony? How did you end up there, Victor? Can you tell us about that?
He hitchhiked everywhere.
Well, there's a couple of nudist colonies. There's one in Vancouver right down there at Gay Bay. Right down.
What's Gay Bay?
Gay Bay is where gays go to buy joints for a dollar.
Oh. And then note to self.
Can anyone go there?
And then there's Hollister up here in Goleta. And that was the best one. Because you could walk down there and try not to get a boner. And then girls would ask you questions. And then you'd go to their house.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that the one you were a carpenter at, Victor?
I've been a carpenter all my fucking life.
No, but
everywhere.
You were literally nude doing carpentry.
But
this is not a life for us. You know what I mean? You're a handsome bastard like this guy.
No.
Got a nice shirt.
Yeah.
He's got a nice way about him. He's out there.
Yeah.
No one wants me.
I learned everything I know from Cali.
Hollister to buy dollar jeans. Like,
the nude carpenter was over in Pima, Thatcher, Arizona. There was a hotel called Indian Hot Springs.
Yeah.
And there was all these important people there, like basketball players. This was like 79. Basketball players and like that.
Yeah.
And like, there wasn't any meat. So I had to eat grapefruit and shit like that. So the first job they asked me to do is I had my tool belt with me. And it was I had to replace the skylight. So I'm up there and my balls are swinging over on top of the skylight. All the girls are looking down there. They're looking up at my balls and stuff. And they have little hot springs. So I go sleep out there. And then all of a sudden at night, different girls would appear all the time.
Right?
Really?
Off
of the nut advertising you'd done earlier?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, how's that work? And then
they come around? Yeah.
Fuck yes.
Why
does people have that luck?
So I ended
that
up
life.
With, so there, so I ended up with this, God, there are so many women there. And then there was,
Did you ever get a boner while doing carpentry, Vic, naked?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, you can't get a boner.
Really?
Once you get a boner, you're
fired.
Yeah, you're fired.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can't get a boner.
You can't be on a nudist colony.
Can't go on a nudist colony. No boners. Yeah.
You walk around a nudist colony.
It's worse than being in fucking rehab.
Yeah.
That's the thing, right? Because it's not about a sexual thing.
No, it's just about, I don't want to wear clothes. It ain't about, I don't want to wear clothes because I want to Have the big
I want freedom. I want whatever I got to do, whatever it is. But it's more.
I heard they give you like 3 to 5 days.
Philosophical, political. Out. It's not sexual. It's not supposed to be sexual. Yeah. And I only know that because
until the lights go out.
Until oh really?
Yeah, until the lights go out.
Does everybody just get naughty?
Doesn't matter if they're married or anything. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Until the lights go down. When the sun goes down, it's on.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Bill Walton. Bill Walton was there. You know, that basketball player in Portland?
Yeah.
And there was all kinds of people there, and they went and they paid a lot of money.
Was the coach of the Lakers?
But I came up to the front gate with this other guy that picked me up outside of Tucson. He had gave me a tab of acid, and we went in there on acid. So the people in the front gate, I knew from Oregon, from they were gorilla growers from up in Cave Junction. And, sup, Vic, you don't have to pay. Okay, cool. I'll just work. I got my belt with me, you know. I'll hammer some nails and saw some boards. I was there for a couple of weeks.
Fucking hell.
He can hammer a 9-inch nail.
I left there in the dead of night.
I'm not kidding you.
I left there in the dead of night with this woman named Meadow. She was married to a framer. Like a carpenter framer.
Yeah,
tough fucker. And
framers are worth their weight in gold.
Yeah. So I left there with her and ended up over in San Diego. She lived in Laguna Beach. And then he was phoning me on the phone and telling me he was going to kill me and everything like that. And then I had her down in the campground in Laguna Beach. And she screamed so loud that the police came and then kicking her out because, like, I know how to do stuff. So.
All right.
Oh, my God.
That should be the name of Vic's book. I know how to do stuff.
Yeah.
I know how to do stuff. Oh, man.
Yeah, I can make toast and shit like that. Really good scrambled eggs. What happened? Look at. After you shit your pants, I'm going to run to the freezer and take another shot of Smirnoff.
Oh, please. Please do. Someone's got
to
work
never,
on it.
I've never been to rehab.
Never?
No.
Me neither. They never accepted me.
On Monday and Tuesday, I didn't drink, but that's about it.
This last Monday and Tuesday?
Yeah, fuck, I needed a break. I mean,
I'm doing, and I invite everyone to do it with me who wants to. It's Tuvember. I made this up myself. From October 22nd to November 22nd, I only have 2 drinks a night. Now, granted, that's a meniscus pour of vodka, probably.
It's like a fucking LaCroix to me.
Yeah, and then there's a LaCroix.
Why do people buy that shit?
Because we're in advertising.
Oh, I'm in fucking Trader Joe's. I'm going to get LaCroix. I'm going to get 12 for $3.95. I'm going to take one sip and leave it on the table.
I know.
Everybody takes one sip. And they leave it on the fucking table.
And also,
after we have a party, it's like 90 fucking LaCroix sitting around that are heavy.
Dude, you know? And also just if you get the refresh, it's $1.99. I'm not looking for sponsors, but $1.99. And you get that long pack.
Yeah.
That goes right in the fridge clean. Anyway.
Hey, Victor.
I drink a lot of that shit. I need
Victor,
fizzy water.
Clean pipe. Another one of your hitchhiking things. How did you end up on the reservation, and how did you get your native name?
Oh, that's real easy. So I was working for Peter God in New Westminster in Vancouver, and he was like one of my brother Gary's friends. When I was 15, I worked at a crossing stop, and I saved up $276, and I took the bus to Vancouver. And the first night I was there, those guys had me up in a room in the Martello Towers down the West Side, Gay Bay, and they were giving me MDA.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A lot of rhymes.
And then I got a boner. There was a big party, and then there was all these girls, and they were looking at my dick and telling me that it was so beautiful and everything, and then they wanted to kiss it, and I said,
"Were you nude?"
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and all these stories
again, shit that's never happened to me once in my life. That's
so keep it on. In all these stories, Vic is totally nude.
So, what was your question?
Oh, how did you end up on the First Nations reservation and get your name?
Oh, so I was working I was working in New West, and you know, and then it was Friday night, and I was going over to North Vancouver, and I had my 63 Apache pickup truck with a 327 and a 4-speed, and there was this girl hitchhiking, and she just had a shower, and she had a white blouse on, and her butt was sticking out, and I picked her up, and I took her downtown, went downtown, and dropped her off down there, because she had to get her birds, and then we had a beer at we had a beer in one of the big hotels downtown there, and then I asked her out, and she said okay, and then we started going out together, and then her boyfriend wanted to kill me, and then but I told her, I just walked away, and then we started going out. So
boyfriend out of the picture.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. So anyway, her name was Vivian, and she was really cool, and she was in her last year in nursing school, so we were together for a year, and then we went to Lillooet, British Columbia, BC's little nugget, and we moved up there. Because I was up on the roof one day, and I had the nail gun, and these guys all wanted to go to lunch. I was trying to nail off the last couple pieces of plywood, and I nailed my feet to the roof, and then they left without me, and they came back from lunch, and the nails were still in my feet, and I couldn't get them out myself because I didn't have any fucking vice grips from DeWitt, Nebraska. So they took the nails out, and yeah. I went, fuck you, cocksuckers. And then I put my couch on top of my little Toyota station wagon, and I drove to Lillooet, and I moved in with her. So there was a whole bunch of Indians. She was living in an Indian house when I met her, taking care of the house in New West. And these guys were all from up in Alert Bay. They're all like serious Indians, like Haidas and Tlingits. And I went up there and I fished with them. They asked me to go fishing with them. So the first night on the boat, there's this girl. She weighed 500 pounds. Her name was Too Much. And she gave us a bag of rice and a couple of old fish because we didn't have anything to eat. We went in the boat. Boat caught on fire that night. I thought I was going to die on Johnson Strait. And then the next day, there was a salmon opening. So they put me in the little fucking boat that was all fucked up because it got crunched in the fucking cruncher from the back of the boat. And they put some fucking bear skin on it and a like some underwear and nailed it to the side so the water wouldn't get in. And they put me out there. And then that's how I got my name, Walking Eagle Vic. Because I'm so full of shit, I can't fly. So that name stuck.
That name stuck.
I was on that reserve for 8 years up there. She got a job as the Indian health nurse. She's still the Indian health nurse after 30 years.
You're still up there.
You guys still talk? You still talk to her?
No. Because
you may be getting a call.
Who? She's not listening to this fucking shit.
Special guest. Yeah.
I was at a hockey tournament over in Vernon, over in Kamloops, and then she was shaking me outside the window of the bar, and then I lifted my hand and her nose broke, and then there was a RCMP behind me. He put his hand on my shoulder and I had to go to jail and I didn't have any shoes. I had to walk home through the snow.
Oh, no, I like that. I lifted my hand and her nose broke.
Well, she was fucking shaking me, bro.
Well, wait, what's shaking me mean?
She was holding me in front of the window so everybody could see and grabbing me by both my shoulders and shaking me and telling me to smarten up.
Oh, so wow. It's like, get away. She was a strong woman.
Yeah, she was a swimmer.
Jesus.
Is that's not Too Much. This is the other girl.
No, Too Much is over on the island.
Wow.
So that was the best place I ever lived, Lillooet, BC. Hey. Largest city north of San Francisco in 1857.
Oh, wow. Jeez.
45,000 people all headed for the fucking caribou.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you have any good hitchhiking stories, Victor?
I have lots of hitchhiking stories. I don't know where to start.
Wait, what's the one that's...
Spencer was telling me one about you because the whole thing with his feet reminded me of you breaking your feet when you're running up the stairs.
Yeah, I broke all 10 of my toes.
Toes, yeah.
Yeah, running from the cops. Which, that's true.
What? Please tell on us your, about that.
Were you using your getaway sticks?
Yes, I was. I was just sitting there after school, high school one day.
This is in Chicago.
Yeah.
How old are you? Well, high school. What year?
I graduated in 83, so this would have been like 82 maybe. I don't know.
Copy that. Driver's seat on the radio.
Right. Lots of Genesis on the radio. A
lot of Genesis. A lot of tight mixes.
A lot of Phil Collins.
Yep, a lot of Phil Collins.
So much Phil Collins.
A little sniff in the
tears.
He
really owned the fucking radio.
He did. You could go through the entire dial.
Dude, he cannot
and find
be
something.
Fucked with.
No.
Phil Collins continues to not be able to be fucked with. The other, whatever. I'm not going to
get about
it.
What about the Acapulco train robber movie?
Which he one was in that? It? Was that Buster? Which one is that? No.
I'm not sure, but I don't know. How can you not like
and also,
Phil
by the way, Peter Gabriel. Last Amazing. Night, I got into my toilet. This is so strange. I got home. I have a friend staying over who lives on a boat down in the marina. our friend Chris, we know him. And I got home and I got into the bathroom and I couldn't get out of my head that "In Your Eyes"
by Peter Gabriel.
In Your Eyes.
Exactly. And I was like, eyes. There was a point where this was.
That gives me a boner. Your Eyes.
Hey, so Blackie.
Look, I got a chubby right now.
I'm so scared.
Quit huh? looking at him.
Like, no, see I'm if sorry.
Really,
I can't.
To see if it's really there.
Look, I was just a kid. I'm out there. I got my usual spot. I spot
Chicago.
This one kid in school who I knew always had weed.
Yeah, okay.
And so I spot him every day.
I had
and be
some
like,
fucking
hey,
weed.
I got some.
Give me some.
It's vape, though. It's fucking
fuck.
Shitty vape.
Can I meet you like in the spot after school? Because he what got out a little bit before me. So he'd go home and get in his street clothes.
Just press the button and
how
inhale.
How do you do this?
Just inhale on the end of that.
Am I going to die?
I hope not.
Well, eventually.
Yeah. There it is. That's it. They're supposed to be a decent company that never had any shit happen to them. I don't know. That's what the fucking dumb weed guys say at the place.
Vic's a breatharian. That thing can't do anything. So.
It's fine. I had sworn off the vape because
holy
obviously.
Fuck, I'm ripped.
Because all. No.
What? What'd you say?
I tried holy to stay
fuck,
just
there goes
on
my,
the...
There goes my boner. I'm going to take another hit.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
No, I had tried to stay just on the you know, flower or whatever. I fucking hate that word. It's so ridiculous. I tried to just smoke weed and... It gets fucking tricky, and it's also really tough on your lungs, and this stuff
yep.
is fairly mellow, but I am nervous to see what's going
to
happen. Because
to
I,
me?
No, just friends. I think it's like, we don't know what's going on with this vape shit. We're trying to figure this shit out.
Right.
But you
a couple
know,
weeks ago, the government told everyone vaping to stop right now.
Everybody said the vaping to stop, and then it sounds
follow
like
the
it's
money.
All boosted vape. That's like
and then everybody stopped
like,
for exactly 30 seconds.
Someone fucking mixes it in with Robitussin.
It's like man, it's I need the vape over this bad news about vape.
Yeah, also just like
I think I just got off.
Yeah, see that, cool. And then other.
Well, you
yeah.
have a small liver, so there
yeah.
you go.
Fucking hey. Cheap drunk.
No, long story short, I'm smoking weed after school
yes,
one day.
Sorry,
here comes
sorry.
The cops. No, it's a quick story. I'm barefoot for yeah. some reason because I got some ugly ass feet anyway. So
me too.
Here comes the cops. My buddy who I'm smoking with, he's gone. You know, he's got the wherewithal to keep his gym shoes on. But I'm thinking like, I'm still in my school clothes. I just want to get home and get in my street clothes and go meet everybody at the park and throw rocks at cars, you know. But I'm on my way home from school here. So he meets me on my way home. We're smoking, having a little chat. All of a sudden, man, the cops just roll up on us like we're Mob Barker's gang or something, man. Mm-hmm. Like 3 deep, they roll in this alley and it's like, and it seems like they're all just keying for me. I'm like, I'm just some kid walking home from school taking a few hits off of his pot, you know. But he's gone and I'm running up the stairs and you know how stairs go up and then up and then up. But my first foot hits that embankment and my next foot hits the other embankment and I'm laying there with 10 broken toes. You know what I mean? I just did not navigate those stairs well.
Mm.
And, nothing ever hurt. I mean, I literally couldn't walk for 6 months.
No
with
way.
With broken toes. You cannot walk with broken toes.
Oof. Now, does that mean you have no balance? Is it the balance thing, right?
Yeah. And they can't do anything for broken toes. They can't give you a little toe. There's no such thing as a toe cast. You just got to weather that storm, man, any way you can. You
That's
know?
The trippiest thing. A friend wheelchair. Of mine said, who just like shed like, you know, 15 pounds, which is what I should probably shed off my forearm. and he said that the best thing he could do that he did, he went down to Zihuatanejo, whatever it is, Zihuatanejo.
Zihuatanejo.
Yeah, exactly. Zihuatanejo. And, and he went down there. And he said that all he did for like a week was just walk down to the end of the beach with bare feet.
Iztapa.
And back, right? And he just did it every day, every morning, and just ate like a normal human being. And then he'd like, you know, lost, like sent me a picture. I was like, Jesus Christ, you look skinny as fuck. Must be like you're working the whole muscle of your feet. And that must take that constant adjustment of sand is good for your... You're, you know, that's, listen, Charlie's out there on the sand.
What's he doing on the sand?
He's a fucking lifeguard, you believe it?
Oh, really?
He's a yeah, right, surprise, surprise. Yeah, I know, he's a lifeguard.
Guard
right
my
outside
life.
The Barbie Dreamhouse. No, but it's true.
Where's a fucking Barbie dream house?
I don't know. Malibu Barbie. That's right.
Is that like free Zoom? Is that like a nude beach?
When's the last time you've been nude at a place like that, Victor?
At a place like that?
Like a nudist colony or beach or something.
Well, there's a nudist colony in my hometown of Fort Erie, Ontario.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, it's called Lily Valley Park.
Oh.
And my sister used to go with one of the boys that, from the family that runs Lily Valley Park. It's right next door to the dump.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Canada.
Dank.
Love it or leave it.
So give us a, can you give us a hitchhiking story, Victor?
Yeah, I can give you all kinds of hitchhiking stories.
Well, what's your most memorable hitchhiking story? If someone were to say the
most. All of them.
Victor,
I'll tell you what. Nobody ever fucked me up. Nobody ever. Everything was always happy. 70s, people picking me up. You know, girls in Cadillacs in Nebraska taking you to the barn, saying, "Oh, you're so beautiful." I say, "Well, vámonos." So everybody that picked me up was, I've never had any problems at
no
all.
Bad experiences.
No bad experiences while hitchhiking. Only in California, because nobody would pick you up.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay.
Even in the 70s, nobody would pick you up.
Because of the serial killers.
Yeah. Well, because all that. And then there was the Washington, there was the Green Valley Killer. In Washington, you cannot stand on the freeway. You got to stand at the bottom. In Oregon.
Oh, wait. You what can was get the deal with the Washington Valley Killer?
The Green Valley
Killer. Green River.
Green Valley
Green
Killer.
River.
Green River. Really?
Well, he fucking killed everybody.
Yeah. About 100 people.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Yeah. So
they knew he did it, but no, they had to wait for the technology, for the DNA to catch up with him.
Catch up with D.B. Cooper.
Once a year, this guy used to hold yard sales, and he would just sell all the stuff of the people he would kill. Yes, he would. He would sell off like wedding stuff and pictures and all kinds of just basically evidence.
No kidding.
Are you serious?
Oh my God.
Rubbing it in the cop's face because they knew that the day was going to come where they were going to be able to sync up the DNA with the technology. But it took a long time. They knew it was him for a long time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Gary. I think his name was Gary.
It wasn't until like the year 2000 that they swooped on him.
Yeah.
He was from fucking Linwood or something like that.
He was a guy who worked.
The problem was some states you could stand out on the freeway and hitchhike, which was good.
Yeah.
Instead of standing at the bottom of having to stand like in California, you had to stand at the bottom of the exit. Who's going to fucking pick you up?
Who here is hitchhiked?
I have.
Obviously, everybody.
Yep.
Yeah.
But I mean, I used to hitchhike to high school and stuff. I've never hitchhiked.
I never hitchhiked. I was always fucking afraid of that.
Should have been.
Well, I saw those 70s movies, and they were always, all the weird ones were always like, get in there and then we get your belly cut. You know? I mean, that was pretty much it.
Like Texas Chainsaw was enough to probably.
You want a piece of candy? No, look that way. Yeah. Belly cut. It scared the fuck out of me, and so I didn't fuck with it. But also, like in Rhode Island, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
Like, where are you going to go?
Go to Vermont. Vermont. That's right.
I'm in Cranston. Vermont was my first place. Once I get to Pawtucket, it's going to be dope up there. You know what I mean? Back to East Prov, off the chain. Nice. Like, no, it's...
I've hitchhiked home from... I hitchhiked when I was 15 from...
That's when I first started when I was
Lancaster 15. Back to Covina.
Oh, shit.
And then I hitchhiked.
That's
when
a
I
long
was,
way.
Yeah. When I was 17, I hitchhiked from Salton Sea back to Covina.
Wow.
But, you know, Victor will tell you, hitchhiking when you have a certain destination.
I always I always went by myself. You don't want to hitchhike with anybody else.
No.
Especially a girl. Nobody will fucking pick you up, even if she's good looking. So.
Why is that? I think that would
help. Ask those motherfuckers. They're scared.
No, they'll pick up the girl by herself, but not the girl with some dude.
Yeah, right. So I always went around.
The last time the girl would be hitchhiking.
I always made sure I was clean.
Girl's hitchhiking, you pull over, three dudes are out of the bushes.
Smile.
Yeah.
You always got to have a big smile. Stick your fucking thumb out, bro. Don't be hanging it down at the bottom like this, like a fucking retard pendejo. Like, stick your fucking thumb out with a big smile. Hey.
Help me.
Because my job was to entertain you. That was my job. Oh, you're picking me up in Chicago? Where are you going? I'm going to Walla Walla, Washington.
Hop in.
Where are you going? I'm going to San Francisco. I'll ride with you to Walla Walla. Okay, let's go. So and then you entertain them. You stay awake. There was no phones.
Yep.
You look at the, you tell them about different kinds of trees and shrubs and plants. And you say, you know, it's constant change.
Every second is constant change.
That's right.
And you're driving across America, the greatest fucking country in the world. What more could you want? We're all one. All of us Americans, we're all fucking one. Every state, everything, we'll even let some fucking Canadians come in, okay? We're all one.
Sometimes.
We all Must understand wait. Each other. Hey, we're all here to learn and have a good time.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
And hello.
And we end up having a good time.
Yeah, but then you only get wrapped up in Trump and politics and shit. Fuck all that shit. Just have a good time. Get up. Make your coffee.
It doesn't matter who the damn president is. I keep telling people. Doesn't matter if it's Obama. It doesn't matter who the president is.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, you don't even think about it. It affects
me zero.
Oh, don't
Between
even think
George
about
W.
it.
And Obama, zero
There's
change in
too
my
much
life.
Other stuff going on.
People get all worried, but I'm asking you, like, what has changed in your life?
Nothing ever.
From the president being different.
Nothing ever.
Nothing affects me. Really. I mean, I'd like to think that it's like I'm a part of this problem, but I'm not. I don't know what they're doing out
it's
there.
It's all the 1% of the 1% pulling the fucking strings. Cooks.
I don't even know, but it affects me zero.
740 Park Avenue, they're all pulling the fucking strings.
Oh, I know. Smokes are
but
still
it's
$8
never
a pack.
Affected, it's never affected you know? Me.
Smokes have been $8 a pack for 30 years.
Yeah, we got this. We got the what's his name there, Gavin Newsom, trying to work out that gas situation for people who drive. I don't.
Well, we
drive.
Pay a lot in gas. That's true.
We always have. But yeah, man. I mean,
I wish we paid less. I mean, gas is expensive.
Yeah, it's $2.20 in Florida right now.
Yeah, I mean, we're paying like double the national average or something.
And we have the worst governor and mayor in history, I think.
Yeah.
It's
we do.
Pretty. Because
they're letting them build all these fucking nightmare structures in Hollywood and
right.
not building anything for the homeless.
Not doing anything. Not doing anything about shit. The homeless problem. It's completely ignoring it.
Yeah.
Like it's not there. When in fact, it's growing daily and it's a huge problem.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, like. Sometimes there's so much shit in the toilet you just can't flush it away, bro. You know, you got to actually go in there and do your job. And they won't. He's just waiting for the next guy to waltz in, you know.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Please like and subscribe the podcast wherever you listen to it. Follow us on It Is All Bad on Instagram. You will get to see some great content and some throwback Thursdays, flashback Friday photos of all of our guests and some good ones of us as well. Maybe some old guy photos of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just kiss and say goodbye.